Hello.
Barry Chitone, please.
Thank you.
Barry, this is Brent Kelly.
Okay. Hold just a second, Brent.
Sure.
Hold your line. I'll be right with you.
Okay.
Yeah, Brent.
Okay.
Sorry, I wasn't here, but all last week I was in a softball tournament, so that's why I wasn't home.
Okay, so you're still at it, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Sometimes it's hard to die, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can we talk? Do you have time?
Sure.
Okay, great. First, I appreciate this very much. And secondly, your number of autograph requests will increase for a few weeks after this is printed. Is that okay?
Oh, this is going to be printed?
Yes. Is that all right?
Where is it going to be printed?
A magazine called Sports Collector's Digest.
Okay.
Okay. If you don't want to, I understand. No problem.
No, I don't have any problem with it.
Okay. Okay, make you famous.
Yeah,
that may be so. Okay, you're the first native-born Baltimorean to be signed by the Orioles?
I was the first one to actually play in the big leagues with the Orioles.
So okay.
After they came back here, they had signed some guys prior to me from the area, but I was the first one that they signed, you know, when I came back in 54.
Okay.
To actually get to the big leagues.
Who signed you? What's the count?
Walter Yao.
Who?
Walter Yao, Y-O-U-S-E.
Okay. Not familiar with him.
He's with Milwaukee now. He's a regional scout for Milwaukee. He was with the Orioles for a long time, and then he was Harry Dalton's man. And then when Harry went to California, he went there, and then when Harry went to the Milwaukee, he went with him to Milwaukee, and now he's a he's getting ready to retire at this stage. I guess Walter's about 75, 76 years old.
Yeah, he's probably earned it by now.
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay, this is a time when you signed, 56.
Uh-huh.
The Orioles were throwing money around like they had it. Were you offered a bonus?
No.
Okay, you were just...
What had happened back in those days when I signed, they still had that $4,000 rule in effect.
About the 2 years captivity,
so
yeah.
You have to have 2 years in the big leagues if you got over $4,000. And the Orioles at the time had Bob Nelson, Jim Pyburn, and Wayne Causey. Maybe, I don't know, Bruce Swango.
Swango was...
They released him prior to that.
They had the pitcher, the left-handed pitcher, Odell, too, didn't they, at that point?
Well, Billy had signed at 54.
Oh, Hattie, I thought he was...
Yeah, he might have been in the service in 56.
Okay.
But then they had also Tommy Gastel, but Tommy Gastel was killed in a plane crash before I signed.
Okay, their roster was full of them at the time.
Yeah, so it was kind of limited. So most clubs weren't giving away a lot of money unless you were really something, and I wasn't really something. So
they must have seen something.
Well, I mean, a lot of guys got $4,000 aside.
Yeah.
And I think a lot predicated at that time was what kind of contract they were offering you. And, you know, monthly income was what a lot was predicated on how guys were signing. And the Orioles had offered me $4,000, which I could get with a number of clubs, but they then in turn gave me a AAA contract.
Oh.
With a verbal promise, and $600 a month, with a verbal promise that in the following year that they wouldn't cut me.
Uh-huh.
They wouldn't lower my salary the following year. I'd still get $600 a month, which they lived up to.
Yeah, that was major league pay at that point.
They were making about $6,000 a year. And, you know, we've been playing about 5 months, so I was making about half of major league fights.
Well, you went to the same high school as Al Kaline.
That's correct.
Did you
grew up in the same neighborhood.
Were you there together? He was a couple years older than you.
Yeah, I was a freshman when Al graduated.
Okay.
I finished my freshman year. But we've known one another, you know, my entire life anyway.
Uh-huh.
And as I say, we lived across the alley from one another.
Talk about your 1957 season with Phoenix.
Yeah, I wish they could have all been like that.
Well, that was something.
Yeah. Well, it's a great playing out. That's rarefied air.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, just a great year. I was 18 years old, 19 years Hospital, I guess. And, everything went right. Right for me offensively, and I didn't really, know you were aware of that.
Oh, yeah. 77 extra base hits.
Is that what I had?
Yeah. I made 44 doubles, 17 triples, 16 home runs.
Yeah, and the thing was, I was one hit short of, I think, a 200 hits.
199 hits, yeah.
And the last two games, I went hitless, which really
upset me. But the thing, 151 runs in 125 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, there must have been some hitters behind you.
Well, I think on that team, we only had maybe two or three guys who didn't hit 300.
Wow.
And we hit really well that year. Everybody on the team, I think, except for two guys or three guys, something like that, who started every game, if they didn't hit 300, they were right around there.
Must have been a fun season.
Oh, yeah, we scored a hell of a lot. The pitchers loved us.
I bet they did.
We scored a lot of runs. There were a lot of runs scored, playing out there. Because we were in Mexico, where they scored a lot of runs.
Yeah, that league, Arizona-Mexico League doesn't exist anymore, does it?
No, I think it was one more year after that, and then it folded. And the first year I went away, I played in the Sooner State League. That I think, went one more year, one or two more years, and that folded. But the leagues were starting to fold at that point.
Yeah, it was TV was coming, and yeah. Leagues were going.
Yeah.
1958 Vancouver Pacific Coast League.
Uh-huh.
They set up a match race between you and Veda Penson.
Yeah, but we didn't run.
Didn't run?
No.
Why?
I had pulled a hamstring.
Oh.
When I came back, my manager wouldn't let me run against it.
Oh, well, that's probably safe.
Yeah. I would have loved to have done it.
Would you have beaten him?
I don't know. I mean, I thought he could really fly, but they said I could really fly too, so I don't know.
I've got a note scribbled here on the side. Older references list you as 6'4", newer ones say you're 6'2".
I'm probably closer to 6'4".
Okay. I didn't think you shrunk 2 inches.
Yeah, well, I may have. I'm 55, 4 years old. Maybe I have. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I measured myself. I'm down an inch in the last 20 years. I didn't believe it, but I guess it happens.
Yeah.
Okay, you first appeared with the Orioles in 1959. Was there much ballyhooing done about you being the first Baltimore native?
None.
Good.
Not from that aspect, no.
Okay. Did you get a fair shot?
I don't think they really cared. People at that, the way we drew and how they hated, Baltimore, the Orioles back at that time, were not the fair-haired boys that they are today.
Right. Right.
It was the Colt town, and everybody, the Colts were it, and we were the illegitimate stepsons.
And you still hadn't had a good team yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was. Most people didn't really care. From that aspect, they didn't.
They'd make a big.
It didn't really. I don't know if anybody even knew it. To be honest, I don't think they ever knew it until they came up with a trivia question.
Yeah.
Probably when they found out. Somebody said, "I wonder who the first Baltimore is, since we had some Baltimore guys play. I wonder who the first one was," and that's probably when it dawned on them that I was the first. I didn't even know it.
It would be a big fuss about that today, anywhere, though.
Yeah,
it's
ridiculous. I remember hearing the question one day. I was listening to the ball game on the radio, and they were asking questions during the game, and that was one of the questions they asked. And I'm running down the road, and I'm trying to think of who it might have been. And because I pretty much had kept this, in the. Probably in the 70s.
Yeah.
Hell, I might have been me. It was.
Well, it's nice to be an answer to a trivia question. Did you get a fair shot in Baltimore?
No, I don't think so.
I don't either, from what I can tell.
I played 5 years or 5 seasons. Christ, there's another home run. Winfield just hit another one.
Oh, man.
There's a two-run job. That makes it about 8-2.
Winfield's something else, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got, let's see, I know he's got a double, and I forget what else he did. 59.
Yeah.
And I had, I think I played, I didn't play regular, but I've got to start because we were on the road when I joined the ball club.
Mm-hmm.
And we came back, I think I had like 20 at-bats. We were like a week I was on the road, and I had about 20 at-bats the first week I was there, and we came back against the, I played the White Sox, who won the pennant that year. And I played in front of hometown, a little nervous, I thought, anyway, and I went 0-3 and 0-4, so that made me like 6-27. And I think of what I had, 67 at-bats or something like that my first year. So the rest
79.
Huh?
79
first year?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, what I bet?
203.
I mean, I've had about 50 bats the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And after that, anyway, I played... I came to the ballpark. I went over 3 and 0-4. They told me to report the next day early. And I go out there and they change my batting stance.
Oh man!
Said can't hit like that in the big leagues. And so they changed my batting stance. I didn't play for 2 weeks. It was 2 weeks before I went to bat again. And hell, you know, it was just go through the motions at that point. I didn't even really want to play. Because there's a lot of pressure on you at that point. You know, I'm trying to figure out how to hit that way. I really didn't think I got a good.
And you're still just a baby. You're 21 years old.
I just turned 21 years old. And Paul was the type of guy that if he felt that, I mean, at least I got the impression that everybody who played in the big leagues, regardless of what your age was or how long you've been playing, he expected you to not make any mistakes.
Yeah.
Well, he put me in a game in Detroit one time, and I had never really played the outfield until my senior year of high school when I signed. I was mostly an infielder, so I'd learned how to play the outfield in professional baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the first year I played a little left field and center field. Mostly they want me to be a center fielder because of my speed. So, I mean, I had to learn how to throw and everything as an outfielder because I was used to throwing as an infielder.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a triple-A ball before I really learned how to throw because I was opening up too soon and I didn't know it. The guy, a scout, worked with me for a little bit and showed me what I was doing wrong.
Nobody was helping you in the minors?
Nobody knew. Everybody said, you know, get on top of the ball. When I get on top of the ball and I throw the ball and it would go real good until it got halfway between, you know, wherever it hit, and it would die. My ball would just die, primarily because I wasn't following through. I was opening up with my top shoulder, and my ball would just fade and die. I mean, I had fairly good velocity, but once it just went so far and didn't have the rotation on the ball. Guy showed me how to do the rotation, how to keep my top shoulder closed. I never had a great arm, but at least I got the good rotation, and I was able to throw much better. Just by, you know, little trick, but it took me 3 years to learn how to do that, or 3 seasons.
Yeah.
Anyhow, as I was going to say, I came up, the first game I played in the big leagues, I was played center field. So the next game I played, they put me in right field.
Hmm.
I've never played right field in my life.
Yeah, different ball out there.
Oh, it's entirely different. And I forget who was batting. We're playing in Detroit. And I'm scared to death out there. And the ball hit the right center field, a high fly ball. It was my ball all the way. But I just, I don't know, choked or whatever. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And I'm calling for Cosby to catch the ball. And he's calling for me. And finally, he dove for the ball. And he missed it. And I'm standing behind him catching on the first bounce. I came in, Paul Richards calls me over to the sidelines and says to me, matter-of-factly, he says, you know, he said, I got enough outfielders up here to have balls dropped in. He says, I called you up here. When I called you up here to play the outfield, I expect you to catch the ball. He said, the next time that happens, it's going to cost you money.
Mm.
I said, great. I said, when can I get back to Vancouver? I'd never play right field in my life. You put me out there, you're supposed to do the job. And if you don't do the job, they'll take your money.
Did you learn the position or did you stay there? You
were the hell out of right field as soon as I can, and I never really did go. But I mean, I would never play right field if I could help it. I'd go out there if they put me there, and I got to the point when I played a little bit in winter ball and stuff with Weaver one year, and I was never really comfortable there. I ended up playing left field but towards the end of my career, and I felt real comfortable in left.
Mm-hmm.
But in right field, I was never comfortable. Probably because of that.
Well, it's a different field out there. And anybody who says they just play outfield has never played much outfield.
Yeah.
Well, how long did you play? You went to Washington, and you were gone from the majors at 24. How long did you play from that point?
I played up in, it was in 63. So I played through 67. And I went to spring training in 68 in Lake Wales, Florida. And I got released down there. I was in 64... 67, rather. I was playing AAA ball in Hawaii, and they sent me down to AA ball to the Eastern League in New York, Pennsylvania. So, you know, I started going the other way.
Yeah.
And because I had never gone below AAA ball from the time I, you know, went up in 58, and then they sent me down, and then they put me on a Savannah roster, I guess it was, which was in the Southern, I believe the Southern League.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to spring training. I had a good spring. But I went there unsigned, and they released me in spring training. I had made $1,400 a month the year before.
Mm-hmm.
When I was, and I'd had a good year in 66. I had hit 290 something, I think, in Hawaii. And my manager had requested I be called up and we'd sent spring training and so forth. And that was George Case.
Mm-hmm.
And they just wouldn't do it. They wouldn't even take me to spring training as a non-roster player. And I talked with Selkirk, and he had promised me if I went down to spring training in 66, that if I had to get off to a good start in spring training, had a good spring, he promised me he would trade me into a big league club.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to spring training, and I got talking to some of the managers down there, and they said two AAA ball clubs had tried to get me. I don't know if any major league clubs had tried or not, I don't know, but they said two AAA clubs wanted me. And next thing I know, when spring training's over, I'm on my way back to Hawaii. And you really didn't give a shit after that.
Yeah.
And I ended up going down to York, played there, so when I went, anyway, they sent me my contract that winter, and I was making $1,400, and they sent me a contract for $1,000 a month.
Oh, wow.
And so I said, you know, I deserve a cut, but I mean, that's more than what you cut guys in the big leagues who help make a whole lot more money than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you can only cut them 20%. I said, I'm willing to take a $200 a month cut. I think that's fair. And I was dealing with Keller, Hal Keller.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, we don't pay double-A ball players $1,200 a month. I said, well, you made the determination. I was a double-A ball player. I said, just because you put me on that roster, but I don't feel that I'm a double-A ball player. They said, well, we don't pay him. I said, well, then release me. They said, no. So why should we release you? I said, well, what do you want me to do? Just stay home? He said, that's up to you. But we're not going to release you. We're not going to pay you $1,200 a month. So I went to spring training unsigned, and they didn't even put me on a team. I was down there, and I would just go to practice, do my exercises, take some batting practice, and I'll be through for the day. I got into discussion with the villagers who was running the camp, and they put me on a Savannah Ball Club, and by the time spring training was over, I was leading the ball club in hitting, RBIs, stolen bases, had five assists in the outfield, and I got down one morning and they got guys, they're calling these guys in to see him, and guys are signing. I said, hell, they got to sign me now. I'm really having a good spring. I'm hitting the ball well. They got to see, you know, because the expansion's coming up next year, they got to keep me just to see that what can happen. I walk into Keller's office. He says, he said, this is a sad day in my life. I said, what's that mean? I'm released? He said, yeah, sign here. And that's when I found out the pink slip was white.
Jeez. How disappointing.
Huh?
How disappointing.
Yeah. And then, of course, it's right at the end of spring training. In fact, I got released twice in a week. Or whatever. With Rochester. I got released on Thursday. I went over to Rochester. I called Harry Dalton. He said, go over there. I go over with them. And I joined them Thursday. We played Friday morning because it was Good Friday. And we played Saturday. And after Saturday's game, they signed me to a contract at Rochester. Sunday was off because it was Easter. We played a ball game Monday. I went hitless. And then we come back Tuesday. And I don't start. I'm sitting in the dugout. And the game's over, and as I'm walking back to the clubhouse, Billy DeMars, who was the manager, walks up to me and says, Barry, he says, I want you, you know, wish you the best. I said, what are you talking about? He said, hasn't McLaughlin talked to you? I said, about what? He said, we're releasing you.
Wow.
I said, Billy, do you think I'd have sat here for nine innings if you'd released me? He said, well, I said, I'm sorry. And then at that time, I saw McLaughlin and Cal Ripken came in. And they said, I'm sorry, I meant to get here to tell you we got a couple guys coming down from the major leagues. He said, we got to play them. They're left-hand hitters. We got to play them and all that. I said, fine. I said, but why don't you just send me up to Cal was managing Elmira.
Mm-hmm.
I said, why don't you send me up to Elmira and, and I can help them or whatever and then play a little bit. I'm playing shape. If these guys don't turn out, then you got me there and you can bring me up to Rochester. He said, no, we can't do that. He said, you know, you're too good a ball player for this. So, wait a minute, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I'm too good a ball player to go down to double-A ball, but I'm not too good to go home.
Right.
So that was that. That was the end of my career.
So you just hung it up at that point?
Yeah, I was so disgusted. I tried calling some ball clubs. I called a couple expansion clubs. You know, it's the end of spring training. All the clubs are breaking. You know, they're going to give all the young kids an opportunity. I'm 29 years old at that time, going on 30. So, I called a few people, and we'll get back to you. It wasn't even that. It's just flat out no. And so, by that point, I was so disgusted, I just said,
It was pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
That's not a good story.
well, I guess it's the story of my life. I don't know.
Well, let's go to a high point. You hit a home run for the Orioles.
Uh-huh.
Tell me about it.
We were in Cleveland, and I put in the ball game for Dick Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And Dick had got on base, and they put me in the pinch run for him. So after the inning was over, he put me in the outfield, so I'm playing the outfield. And I come up to bat a couple of innings later. I don't know what it was. And I don't know if we were winning. I think we were winning because the pitcher was turned out to be Dave Tyriver was the pitcher. So I guess Cleveland had brought up at the end of the year. I didn't even know who he was. And first pitch up, you know, he throws one under my chin. Rushes me back. And I said, oh, you son of a bitch. And the hell's he throwing at me for, you know? Anyhow, so the next pitch he threw me a curveball and I hit it in the seats in right center field.
Good.
And I was very happy.
I bet you were.
Yeah. It was a great feeling because I think I only had 24 at bats that year with the Orioles, and I was there like 2 months and didn't play at all.
Yeah, 6 for 24.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was 4 for 12 pinch hitting.
Wow, that's all right.
I think I started 2 games that year.
Oh, wow.
And that was a doubleheader against Kansas City in Baltimore. And I think I went 0 for 8 in a doubleheader. That was the only 2 games I started all year.
You were only in the outfield in 6 games altogether for that year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Where do you get all this stuff?
Baseball encyclopedia, stuff like
okay.
that. Yeah.
More about me than I do.
Well, I can't, calling up somebody and say, so you played baseball, huh? That's not a good way to interview them. You got to know a little bit. I mentioned fan mail earlier. Do you get much fan mail today?
Occasionally I get not too much fan mail. Every once in a while I get somebody requesting an autograph. I guess that would be considered fan mail.
More or less.
Or a card, someplace they got my card. I thought I'd find all of them, but apparently they keep sending them to me.
There's a bottomless pit on baseball cards, I think.
I don't know where they all come from, but I've signed a lot of them over the years, so I still get them. I don't know how people know where I am.
There is a book that has, it's called Baseball Address List, and it's got the addresses of everybody who's played baseball since 1910.
No kidding.
Which is probably an invasion of your privacy, but that's where I get the addresses for interviews. So you sign autographs?
Sure.
Okay. You do me a favor?
Yeah.
I don't really remember the letter I wrote you. A friend of mine, you were his favorite player when he was a kid. He lived in Vancouver. And he's an MD here in town. If I send you a baseball, would you autograph it to him?
Sure.
Great. I'll stick one out in the next few days. He would love that. Just a heck of a nice fella. And he reads the interviews I do, and he suggested I interview you. He said, do you remember Barry Chitron? I said, sure, I remember Barry Chitron.
You can't remember, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, heck yes. I was going to be a baseball player when I was a kid, yeah. The problem with talent interfered somewhere along the line.
Well.
Well, would you go back and do this again?
Play baseball?
Yeah. Sure. You enjoyed it, even though it was...
If I look back over it, there are a lot of things I did wrong, too. I mean, it wasn't all that. I mean, there were a lot of things that if I had the opportunity to change what I did, I would do this. And, change a lot of things, my approach to it. I think where I made my mistake was that, you get to where you're playing every day, and you're really not improving yourself. You're letting the competition improve you.
Yeah.
Rather than doing some other things that you should do to improve what your abilities are and work on your strong points as well as your weak points. I think those are one of the things that probably got a lot, especially when I was playing. I don't know if they still do it today or not, but I understand that they do. You'll take a guy who has a problem, and they'll work on some of the weak things that he can't do, and then they'll forget about the good things he can do. Like, I'll give you for instance. I used to be a pretty good drag runner, and I used to go to spring training with the Orioles every year, and they'd practice pointing the ball down third base. The left-hander getting out of the box and running down third. Well, I never practiced drag money, so I lost the knack for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then third baseman started playing me so close that I couldn't lay the ball down third baseline.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't the type of hitter that I could hit the ball by him to keep him honest.
Yeah.
So, consequently, I lost both abilities, stopped doing it because I didn't have the confidence and I didn't practice the drag bunny, which made me a better ball player.
Right.
I pulled the ball up the middle and pulled the ball. Which got to keep that short, the second baseman back on me. And if I could drive bunt, bring them in, that makes the other ball go through the infield.
It's all a function of doing.
Yeah. But you just, you know, you get lazy. You know, you're doing something every day, and you just get lazy, and you don't work on the good things as well as the bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, a lot of things I would have worked on to make myself a better ball player if I could do it over again. Unfortunately, they won't let me do it.
No, 54. They don't.
And my knees won't let me.
Got a couple of strikes against you there.
Yeah.
Okay, Barry, thank you. Listen, what I'll do, I'll get this typed up, and I'll send it to you for you to look at before I send it to the magazine.
Okay.
I don't like to send anything in without the person's approval so that, you know,
right,
that they know that it's okay.
Right.
And
put your number in their telephone number, you know, we'll look at it, I'll call you.
Okay, great. And I'll stick a ball out, too, and here in a few days. I've got to buy one somewhere, but I'll find a ball to sign to that. I'll put his name in there and everything. When this appears in the magazine, which will probably be 6 months from now, it's usually about that period of time, do you want a copy of it?
Yeah, I would, if you don't mind.
Okay, how many copies would you like?
Just one, fine.
Okay, great. Yeah, well, I will do that. Okay, the copy of it will be to you, or the copy of the manuscript will be to you probably in a week or 10 days, as soon as I still have to work for a living. I can't get
yeah.
to down
well,
type all
that. You know, you're talking about the trivia before. I got another one.
Okay, good.